Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and now there's three people and none of them are Alexa. It's Phil and John back with the episode 5 recap of the challenge, and today we are joined by Annabelle Self, another one of our patrons. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be loaded. Annabelle's been really itching to get on here and talk about the challenge. She's really into it. So good to have another perspective, especially on a week. Good timing on a week when a survivor goes out in very unceremonious fashion, actually very sad fashion, if anybody found the article, which John shared with all of us. But crazy episode, crazy week, as always. Annabelle, John, thanks both for being here. Annabelle, John, I'll get to you. We always hear from you. Annabelle, what have you been thinking about the challenge so far, and what's making you itch to get on here so bad?
I like it. I think it's a pretty good season so far. It has a lot of the kind of challenge staples in terms of the casting. You know, we have all of our old favorites here, like Anissa and Wes obviously went home early, but we have a lot of the big heavy hitters, and then you kind of get some of the people who are newer to the game, but you're excited about, obviously, like Jay and Natalie, you know, from Survivor. We have that bias, but Big T is kind of a newer one who's a lot of fun to watch. So that's been good. I've been a little disappointed with the daily challenges. I thought today was a step up, though.
Yeah, I thought today's daily challenge was the best one by far. It actually felt like a challenge, whereas last week's was literally who can fly a drone, and if you can, you win this. That's all it took. One out of 24 people knew what they were doing. Do you find it – so you've watched previous seasons then. This isn't your first. You're not like me where you're just coming into this blind. Do you find it a little bit stale with the best friend versus best friend thing that's going on, or no, are you all in on that?
Well, I think what is nice about the challenge is they tend to change the format. So this is kind of, they're competing in pairs, but they're leaving individually. So they have team seasons, they'll have pair seasons, they'll have individual seasons. So that kind of keeps it from getting stale a little bit. And I think what's nice about this season is you're getting some big matchups early. So hopefully that doesn't make for a dull season down the line. But seeing Wes and Devin go at it so early tonight, getting Anissa and Tori, I think that keeps it interesting for sure, just getting kind of some of the best friends going at it early so more drama evolves down the line.
Yeah, and so, John, we just watched – we're talking about the best friends going at it. Could this make it boring down the stretch? Because I agree with Annabelle. Big T has been really, really great. But in terms of the other small girl alliance here – what are you feeling about them, and would they make a fun final?
If we get Amber M like she came out tonight, we're in for a great season, because props to Amber M. We finally got a lot of her. We got a little bit last week, but she came out this week. She's feisty. She is going at it. Very excited to see this. And I'm okay with all these best friends going at it with each other, because now these players are going to have to use their strategic chops to get through this game.
Yeah, I do like that. I mean, it's hard for me because, again, I'm watching this the first time. And anybody who's watching this, my headphones, I untangled quite a mess here. Now I'm looking at myself. I look ridiculous. But anyway, you have not knowing who a lot of these players are. I'm still having a hard time keeping up with who's a rookie, who's not. I got to say, finally, John, we've talked about this a lot. We feel like we haven't seen the women much on this season so far, because as we see tonight, the women keep getting medevaced to the extent that they had to bring back the only woman who was actually eliminated from the game. So they have to bring her back, and that's probably why we've seen so little. Big T, obviously kind of the fan favorite here, but is Teresa on anybody else's radar? Or am I the only one who thinks that what Teresa's doing is on like another level compared to what a lot of these players are doing?
I wrote it down today that I think Teresa might be in one of the best positions in this game. And we just haven't seen it yet. Nothing's come of it. But she was talking about her friends, Anissa and Tori, and she was talking about her friends, all the rookie girls. And if that's the case, she's in a very good spot moving forward.
I've watched some of her older seasons, and she's very good at kind of riding the middle in terms of not necessarily, like, she's good friends with both sides. She doesn't necessarily pledge allegiance to either. And it keeps her out of trouble. She's yet to win a season, but she usually makes a good deep run of it because she has that good social and strategic game, and she kind of stays out of any sort of fights typically.
And it seems like this is an easy season for everybody to stay out of fights if you're Teresa and Jay, because everybody kind of gets along with Jay. And we saw Josh blow up at Jay last week, but that didn't, nothing really came of that. And then Teresa, it's so much the big versus the small. It makes sense that probably the most average out of all of them is the one who is smack in the middle. And when you're aligned with Jay, who's not a big guy or really at this point, not one of the first targets, I don't think, because you still have Michi in the game, who I think everybody's going to go for. And Josh and Fessy just keep putting targets on their back. That seems all of a sudden like a power duo when 3 weeks ago, John and I were saying there's nothing going on here. Annabelle, am I right or am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I think you're totally right. Well said.
I hope so. I hope so. John, what do you think about that? Are you starting to feel a little bit here with Teresa and Jay?
I am, and we have to look at their performance today in the daily too. They're hanging in there quite literally with everyone else. Mm-hmm. And we know Jay's got a strategic mind for this game. Teresa has a strategic and a social mind. And just because we haven't seen much of them previously, I don't think means that they're in any means of trouble. I don't think it means that they don't have the potential to go on an incredibly deep run.
I think athletically too, they both are the kind of player who maybe they're not amazing at one thing, but they're really, really solid at pretty much everything. They're never going to struggle too much with the puzzle. You know, Jay was able to do well with kind of that strength and grip challenge today. He's obviously fast, and I think she is too. So they're in a good spot in terms of if they do get thrown into an elimination, they probably have a good shot of coming back no matter what the challenge is.
Yeah, and I think tonight showed that. Like, tonight's challenge wasn't strictly brute force. And I know Tori really struggled with her cart, but I think that's I still don't think that's brute force. I think it's technique. She was pulling too high. It's the whole thing. If you're playing football, or as we saw in the hall brawl last week, or anything like that, it's all about leverage. And she was pulling too high. She was pulling it almost straight. You had to pull that down. At least that's when I think she ended up eventually getting it. By that point, she was just so exhausted that it looked like she was putting her entire body weight into it. But, you know, Jay's one of those unassuming strong people where he might not be the most muscular and everything like that, but at the end of the day, if you have big muscles, a lot of times that's just from picking things up, putting them down. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have fundamentals or technique, which we saw tonight did play a big part in this entire challenge. Because while CT and Big T winning is not surprising at all, considering CT is a big guy and Big T is the smallest girl out there, Jay holding up Teresa that amount of time, that's impressive. It's not like, I mean, I'm not saying Teresa's big by any means, but she's probably close to what Jay weighs.
Yeah, they're probably similar in that regard. But again, it's that lean and the ability. They're both lean. They're both still strong. I think whereas CT could hold Big T forever, mm-hmm. I think Jay also gets a lot of support from Teresa as a partner in that instance as well, mm-hmm. because he isn't going to be needing to hold Teresa as much as CT is going to be needing to hold Big T.
Right, yeah. Before they went up to the challenge, when we got that confessional from Big T talking about like, oh, sorry, CT, like I'm not feeling this today. I thought she was about to like just tell him, hey, like I'm petrified of heights. I'm not doing this. And I thought they were about to forfeit. And then they end up winning. So that was kind of a nice editing trick there.
Yeah. And I think it goes, John and I think talked about this last week with Devin and Tori when they were partnered up. I feel like there's a lot of milking it on the challenge where I feel like when we watch a show like Survivor, even The Amazing Race or whatever it is, I don't think there's as much milking it. Whereas I feel like with this, there's a lot of just like what, like how much of this do they really believe? I mean, even at the end of the episode, which obviously, I know he's kidding, but I wonder if not that anybody out there is thinking he's serious, but people watching it maybe when Devin's like flipping them off and, you know, and like they're all doing all this is such a tough decision. Like, I know that you want to have some drama for the cameras, but there's no way CT was just going to be like, all right, Big T, just jump off. Like he was as long as he was holding her, he would have popped her arms out of the socket.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's exactly we even had that confessional. From, I believe it was Corey during the challenge, where it's just like, yeah, CT could haul her up, squat her a couple of times, put her back over and still be fine.
Yeah.
I think absolutely. A lot of that challenge was also, at least on the girls' end, is almost mind over matter, because especially when the platform came out, it would probably be super easy to panic and just seize up a little bit, drop your partner's hand, but it was kind of relying on them not panicking just as much as it was on the men, you know, keeping that grip.
Well, and it sucks that we didn't get to see what we wanted to, because John and I had said last week with Corey and Natalie who would be holding who. And as we saw tonight, Corey holding Ashley is the first person out. Mm-hmm. And I know that it was based on gender here. I mean, it did go men were holding women. But, I mean, based on how Corey performed in that, I would think Natalie Anderson's probably the better person here. Like, I think they would have been screwed no matter what, but I think it would have been an interesting decision if the challenge allowed it and if it wasn't strictly men are holding women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a shame that didn't pan out, but.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Should we get into that while she had to leave?
Well, John, go. What were you going to say, John? And then we'll hop.
I was going to say, while we were on that topic of who's holding who, because we talked about Tori holding Devin instead of Devin holding Tori, and that came out to bite her because Devin's just like, I'm okay with losing this. We don't need it.
He didn't want to do it. I mean, he put no effort into pulling that rope. He put no effort into pulling that rope. And I don't really blame him. You're not going to win that challenge anyway. And he's not going to be able to hold up Tori at all. So, yeah, I kind of think Tori probably should have been the one, but I don't know. We don't know all the behind the scenes. Speaking of not knowing behind the scenes, Natalie gets the news right away. And because they were really kind of, you know, stepping around it, I had a feeling that it had to do with a pregnancy. That was kind of what was going through my mind, because why would you pull somebody from the game if we didn't see an injury at all? Mm-hmm. And I do believe that, like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, it must be that. And John had found the article, which I guess was on Us Weekly. And I mean, I read it while I was watching, but John, I think if you want to like kind of say like what happened here, and we can kind of discuss how this whole thing just went down.
Yeah, so we get to the daily challenge, and TJ says, Natalie, you've been deemed unfit to continue in the challenge. We have to pull you. And Natalie has a confessional saying that she has some personal matters going on in her life that requires her to get out. But the phrasing of how TJ put it forward made it seem a little weird. And it turns out Natalie had been FaceTiming her sister Nadia, who's trying to get pregnant right now, and made a joke about her period being late, and production made her take a pregnancy test. And it came back positive. So Natalie had to leave the game because she was pregnant and she couldn't compete anymore.
It's just crazy. I mean, and if you read Natalie's thing, it turned out in the headline, it says it, but it turned out that she has a miscarriage after she gets home. But when you read her quote, she's talking about how she's so impressed that her body was able to kick ass while she was also going through all that. And she didn't even have any symptoms. She had no idea. And she really did just say it as a joke. It's pretty crazy. I mean, especially in a game this physical, you know, same thing with Survivor. You can't have somebody pregnant going out there and starving. But in this one, I mean, good thing the Hall Brawl was male oriented and not female oriented, because a lot of these, pretty much all of these challenges are physical and in some way, shape or form.
Even the one Natalie won.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she was hanging like upside down, like a bat, just trying to like gyrate back and forth. That was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could have been bad if she had been in something like a Hall Brawl.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So she ends up getting pulled, which is a bummer because, you know, as Survivor fans and everything, you know, you want to see Natalie compete. Right there, though, TJ says, I'm sure we'll see you again. I love how the challenge doesn't even hide the fact that they're like, all right, you're going to be one of our 19 season stars now, Natalie. As long as you want to play, you will play every single season. We don't care. I love how they do that. I mean, even at the end of the game when he's saying goodbye to Tori, he's like, that's it for your time on this season, but I'm sure we'll see you again soon. It's like, how come you didn't say this to Joseph back in episode 2 or whatever? Well, why weren't you telling Joseph we'll see you soon?
Well, even of note, the way he actually says it to Natalie is, we will see you again. It's concrete. She's coming back. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Tori, it's like, we'll probably see you again. We know how you are. But Natalie's got that guaranteed spot. She wants back. She's going to be competing again.
It was sad just because, I mean, she started off so strong. She got that first, you know, gold skull beating a challenge champ with Ashley, you know, trying to lay low while Wes did some damage. And then she got Corey as her partner when Wes got eliminated. But yeah, that's a tough way to go for sure. So big condolences to her for that. Obviously, the incident and the trauma afterward.
Yeah. And I mean, I do think that she'll be back in some way. I mean, just from based on that, it doesn't seem like she's, I mean, obviously it's a traumatic experience, but it doesn't seem like she's like as sucked up into it as you would think. I mean, some people would take it obviously very, very hard, or however people deal with it. But it seems like she's ready to go. And like, she's like, all right, I want to get back out there and I want to win this thing because I can. How do we feel? And I'll open this to John since we did the first episode together. So I'll start with him and then Annabelle. But how do we feel about Ashley coming back into the game here?
I understand why it's done. MTV needs to fill out their episode order. They just had three women eliminated from the game without any challenges. And that's not the challenge. So yeah, it makes sense to bring back someone like Ashley, who was really the only option when you think about it, because she would have to be in quarantine beforehand. So she probably just hadn't gone home yet while still being in Iceland. Is it awkward to have someone who was eliminated come back? It always is. They've lost. They should stay gone. But in these extenuating circumstances, it makes sense. It's probably best for TV. And honestly, the fact that Ashley's name didn't come up at all tonight is quite impressive. So she handled her return really well.
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, it would have been annoying to watch another male elimination tonight. I mean, it was getting old. We don't get to know the women. The whole point of this game is to win the gold skulls. Are they just going to hand five gold skulls to the women at the end of the game? Like, that's the point it was getting to. You were getting down. If this happens, there's six women left in the game. Mm-hmm. Or I think that would have been it, right? Because it would have been six, because Ashley's already eliminated. So there would have been six women left in the game and five gold skulls. You can't have that happening. Like, that's too much at one time. So I understand why they had to bring her back and all of that. I mean, I don't know if I would have felt better if it was Ashley or if it was like an alternate that was waiting around. I guess I feel a little bit better that it's Ashley, but considering she was eliminated right off the bat, I mean, if they would have just brought in an alternate, I wouldn't have felt any different. They would have been like, look, we understand it's a crazy situation. Still don't see Ashley winning this thing, but weird. Mm-hmm. Annabelle, what'd you think?
Well, John and I were spitballing earlier today because he had heard that there was going to be a security breach, as TJ called it, twist, and that there would be, you know, the introduction of another or new agent. And, you know, I was thinking, oh man, like, they're going to bring in Johnny Bananas and Cara Maria, you know, like people who are just challenge staples, but they're not on this season. It would really stir the pot, get the drama going. Everybody would want them out. They're amazing competitors. They both won a couple of seasons before. That's kind of what I thought was going to happen. But then I completely forgot that they filmed this in the midst of coronavirus. So there's no way that they could pull that off, especially because three women were pulled from the game so quickly and so, you know, sequentially. So yeah, logically it does make the most sense that Ashley was the one to come back. Little anticlimactic just based on, you know, how I was thinking. But I mean, clearly if she's been cast over and over again, they know that she's pretty good TV. And you don't have that rivalry with Natalie, who beat her in the elimination, still there because Natalie mm-hmm. was the one who got pulled. So.
And I guess that's what makes me feel almost a little bit better about it, is because Natalie had to get pulled, it's kind of like Ashley's replacing the person who did eliminate her. Mm-hmm. So had they known, they would have never even had Natalie out there. So Ashley's probably still in the game. I mean, but Ashley has her own theme song. She's got Money Grabber by Fitz and the Tantrums playing, and she comes in because she's Ashley Millionaire Mitchell. Like, I love that. That's how they play her up that much. She was the first person eliminated from this season. Like, you know, I get it, but it is funny to me that she was the first person knocked mm-hmm. out of this season, and they got her coming in like she's Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, don't forget, she's still a two-time challenge winner.
She is, yeah. She's a legend in her own right. Just wasn't her season, I guess, on the first go-round, but she gets a redemption. So
she gets her redemption, and I have a hard time seeing why you would get rid of her now. I understand that people are going to want to get rid of her, especially since she's somebody who can win it and has won it at the end. But now if I'm the men, and I don't really understand how the ending works, but it seems like based on the preview for next week, I can kind of guess if I'm the men, I'm kind of running out of women that I want to run the final with,
right?
Not, you know, because if it is an endurance based type challenge, I know John and I have talked a lot about how Anissa is not really good for those, even though she was really good tonight. You know, then you look at Amber M, Amber B, you have Gabby, you have Big T. Like, I'm not really dying to run with them. You have Cam, who has really taken a back seat since she had a great first episode, so I don't really know much about her. That really leaves you with just Teresa, Nani, Lolo, Ashley, Casey. Like, you're already down to five right there that I'd be like, man, I'm good with running with them. So I'm almost thinking like Ashley comes in at a good time here, especially with Tori going home tonight.
Yes and no. I think only because this is episode 5. I think it's 18 episodes long.
Is it really that long?
It's a long season. So yes, it's better than coming in, you know, right before the final or something like that. But she still has a long time to survive, I guess, is worth noting. So we'll see if the timing ends up working in her favor or not. But I agree with you. I think there are a lot of women left that right around, you know, a couple of episodes prior to the final, the men are going to be like, we got to get out of here.
But we're neglecting the gold skulls because gold skulls are necessary to run the final. Mm-hmm. So those... what is it, the itty bitty small committee?
Yeah.
As they dubbed themselves, they still have to win an elimination in order to be able to run that final in the end. True. Anyways. So yeah. I don't know if the guys are really all that concerned about eliminating some of the stronger competition for the women earlier and then having the women prove themselves through eliminations later.
And I guess it comes down to, too, if a lot of the women at the end did beat each other for gold skulls and it is still the itty bitty small committee or whatever they're called, that means they had to have done something right. And it's probably going to be a somewhat even playing field. What I'm worried about if I'm one of the guys is that you have Lolo, you have, let's say, Nani, and then you have Amber M, Big T, and Gabby, and you're like, oh, okay, well, that seems really uneven where it's like, how do I get one of those two? Because I don't want to be running it with one of these three. Right. So that's where I'm more thinking, but I'm probably thinking way too far ahead because we do still have 23 people left in the game, which, as Annabelle said, if this is 18 episodes, that still leaves the other 13 people to eliminate before we get to our final 10. We still have, what, 6 women then who have to be eliminated from the game? That's a lot of people who still need to be knocked out.
Right.
So, all right. What do we actually think? So let's go to kind of what this big versus small thing was, because what do we think about the decision by the men this early? Were they giving too much to Big T here, or was it the smart move to put Anissa versus Tori when it feels like Anissa and Tori have big past relationships with a lot of these people?
I think when we're looking at it again, it does come down to that idea of those past relationships and everything, and that best friend thing we were talking about earlier, wherein Anissa and Tori were super tight. They're never going to go against each other. And if you're not their partners, you're not benefiting from those relationships that they have with other people. And yes, they have relationships with these other guys, but we already know that these Big Brother players are kind of getting on the outside here. Mm-hmm. So those are numbers that you have to be aware of and not working with. And if they're targeting those two players, then you just want to you want to get away from them. You don't want to be connected to them because then you're going to get dragged too, right?
I think you also had to take advantage of the fact that of the last 4 episodes prior to this one, Anissa or Tori have been the double agent. So this is the first time both of them were vulnerable with their partners, and you knew it had to be a woman's elimination. Devin already has a gold skull, so that wasn't really a factor here. Leroy, you know, nobody's really looking at him or talking about him right now. So it just kind of seemed like the stars aligned with who was in power.
Yeah, and especially since this was so blatantly a women's elimination, because if it wasn't a women's elimination, they would have just never brought Ashley back. But by bringing Ashley back, you're saying we need this to be even because we need a woman to go home, especially since the woman who goes is the woman with the only gold skull. Had it not been Natalie, had it been Gabby, maybe they would have said, hey, we don't necessarily need to bring somebody back because we still have one gold skull. Let's see what we can do with the men over here. But the fact that you're down to zero now, and we would be, you know, what, 5 episodes into the show, it's a lot of time there. So it was very obvious, which I do think made it a lot easier. I loved Big T being the queen here and saying it was like her debutante. Like, I loved her going like all in on this with her princess. The wave, the whatever she had, she looked like Khaleesi. I mean, that's what she was going for. Does this only work because it's Big T though? Cause I, like I said, I've never watched the challenge before. You all know this. Does this only work because it's Big T?
I think so. I think it's very British, that it's just sort of a character moment for her. I think, what I really like about Big T right now is her juxtaposition with CT. I mean, they're almost like yin and yang. Like, he's like, show me your mean face, you know, growl. Mm-hmm. We get all that. And she's just like, grr. Mm-hmm. Got all those big pearly whites. So they're kind of a fun combo. But yeah, I think the whole queen act only works for somebody like her in this instance.
And especially because Big T isn't this massive threat in the house either, right? Big T's not going around like, oh yeah, I'm the best, this is why I'm the queen. It's like, I know this might be my only chance to do this, so mm-hmm. I have to milk it for all I can, and why not have fun doing that?
Yeah, absolutely, because the odds of her winning another daily are not high. I mean, no matter really who she's paired with, this was just the perfect challenge for that. I mean, even Tori said it to her, like, you had to be shaped the way you are and be Big T. Like, you had to, that was the perfect situation. And they tried to give us drama, like Jay and Teresa were going to beat them, but then CT's literally counting down the seconds to say, oh, we just need to hold on for 3 more seconds. Then he just lets her go. It's like, oh, but they didn't know. Anyway, that just threw me off. But yeah, I loved watching Big T do this. I thought this was a really fun character moment. And I have to say, even though this might not have been the most exciting, because it was very obvious Anissa and Tori were going to go against each other from very early on in the episode, and it sucked to have Natalie go out the way she did, it was a little bit more fun than a lot of the other episodes so far this season, because I feel like a lot of the other episodes have been based in negativity, which is how this one started, with, of course, the whole Fessy situation and the backlash from what he did last week. What did we think about that? Because I was very relieved that we got happiness towards the end of this episode.
Yeah, I 100% agree. We had been kind of fuming in negativity for a while here. We come out hot. Corey is not happy with Fessy. Fessy gives some reasonable explanation for his thinking, saying, I was losing one of my friends anyways, so I might as well benefit from it. So he approached the situation well. Corey gets heated. Obviously, it gets more heated when Josh gets interjected into the situation as well. But
I was personally glad. Oh, sorry, John.
I'm just glad it was over within those first 5 minutes of the episode and we just didn't have to deal with it again.
It felt like it was going to be a repeat of the last couple weeks. And that's why I was like, oh my gosh, is this really what we're going to watch? Annabelle, what were you going to say there?
I was going to say, I was glad personally for a Josh break. I was getting a little tired of him and his rage. That was grating on me a little bit. So I was glad he kind of faded into the background. And it did start negative with, obviously, the fallback about Fessy and then, you know, Natalie getting pulled and then Ashley coming in and replacing her. And you get kind of the upswing with, you know, Big T and her queen moment. And then you have the showdown. So
yeah.
I was happier with it.
Yeah, I totally agree, because especially with Josh right now, it's just so much. It feels like one of those things, like if you ever watch them, what is it, Jackass 2 or something, where they keep making everybody climb up on the ladder just so the thing can punch them in the face and they all keep falling for it because they're reading the thing and they just keep. I feel like Josh is that glove. Like every time somebody's doing something else, he's like, hey, look over here. Look up. Boom. It just feels like he has to be involved. And tonight he's coming in screaming at the top of his lungs to Fessy. Corey and Fessy, they can have their problems. I don't really care. I mean, it is what it is. It's the show. It's the nature of reality TV. I thought Fessy explained himself kind of well. I'm not on Team Fessy just because throughout this whole season so far, it's been very hard to get on Team Fessy, especially after the hall brawl last week. But what he was saying made a lot of sense, and it seemed like him and Corey were going to be able to at least have a normal conversation, even if they were mad with each other. And then here comes Josh stomping on over to go crazy. And what does this end as? It ends as Tori and Josh in a screaming match. Like, how did we get there? That's like, it just always blows my mind that it ends with Josh and somebody else screaming at each other.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it. And it was just crazy that Tori goes in. It's like, I'm doing you a favor, not putting you in. And Fessy even called Josh out on it because Josh never wants to go into an elimination. He's always terrified to go into elimination. So, no, yeah, it makes sense for the Fessy would be like, hey, throw me in, because he would always feel like if Josh would be like, oh, no, never mind. I'm backing down. I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm. Especially because they definitely have to know how much longer they have until roughly it's time for the final. So I guess it kind of depends a little bit more on their personal strategy, whether they want to get a gold skull and try and sit on it and just hold on to it, or if they, you know, want to ride as long as possible and then, you know, toward the end of the run, if they want to go in and get their gold skull or not. But yeah, I remember last week being very confused with Josh being so upset about, you know, not getting his name called. I was like, there's no way you would really want to do this.
Well, and why are we why would you want to throw Josh a bone here too? To me, it's put Josh against Nam in a physical challenge. Like, yeah, get rid of either the strongest rookie or I guess the 0-4 challenge beast. From what I was reading in the comments last week, everybody was correcting me because I just assumed he'd be good at those things. But I think it's one of those where it just comes down to pressure and he can't handle the pressure of that moment, which, you know, obviously, you know, it happens. It's, you know, a sport at the end of the day. But yeah, I don't know why you'd be like, here, Josh, you have it. You take it. When working with Josh seems like the worst thing you can do right now. Working with Fessy, even though people don't really like Fessy, you there's still some way for him to rebound. I don't see how Josh rebounds in any situation this entire season, because anytime somebody has a calm, they're like, hey, I had Cocoa Puffs this morning, and he's like screaming, you used my milk. Why did you do that? I was eating Fruity Pebbles. Like, it's ridiculous. It's just every little thing, and it's driving me crazy. But it was a lot more subdued this week because it really was only in those first 5-10 minutes, because it was so obvious this was going to be a female episode and MTV needed to get the women involved in the show at some point.
So I had a question for you guys, something that kind of was going through my mind watching the episode and really watching the challenge in general. There's this ongoing theme of you have to put your time in and pay your dues to really earn respect, and that's why rookies really are kind of like the brunt of everyone else in the house. They usually are the first ones on the chopping block. You know, no one respects them because they're new. No matter how strong they are, they're just not really the people who everyone kind of wants to work with. And what is y'all's opinion about that? Do you think that's kind of just, you know, tradition that they are just kind of harping on the rookies, or do you think there really is something to it of, oh, you need to pay your dues before you can really become a respected competitor?
I think they're a little scared. And this whole thing to me reminds me of fraternities. It reminds me of working in Hollywood. Like, it feels like if you're the new person, everybody has to be mean to you.
Yes.
In the frat, they're being mean to you because, okay, yeah, it's the rite of passage and all that. But also, they don't want you coming in and being the coolest person in the frat when you're a freshman and they're seniors. That's not how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was in Hollywood, it's the whole, oh, well, we worked our butts off and we got treated like crap. And you have to be treated that way too, because if you get treated nicely, you might take my job. Like, that's how it kind of feels. And so I almost feel like they're scared to take on the rookies a lot of the time. Now, maybe it's different when you have somebody like Amber M, who it's like, what is this? But you also don't want to be the veteran who loses to Amber M because you took her for granted. And then the challenge ends up being something that was built for her. You know, it was crawl through a really skinny tunnel that nobody else can even fit through. She wins that. And now you look foolish. You don't want to be that person. So I do think it's about, like, put them against each other so there's less of them, so they can't team up against us and become the kings, because they shouldn't be the kings yet. So I get it. I also think that it's completely backfiring on all of them this season, because the rookies seem to be playing with the, like, veterans who are on their third season or their fourth season or their second season. Like, there's too many people who aren't, like, the brotherhood. You know, they're not 15 years into this. Right. They're a lot smaller of a time. I think that's making a big difference.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything Phil's saying here. And I think it's really shown by the fact that they keep saying they need to prove themselves. They need to prove themselves. And they need to prove themselves in a challenge. But this game isn't all about physicality and winning challenges. Like, there is a strategic element to this game. And if a rookie is getting far into this game, they are showing the strategic and social side of their game. So they are proving that they're supposed to be there. And yeah. I think what it really comes down to is these indentured competitors are just thinking, oh, I've been here. It's my time. I'm due for this. No one's getting in my way, especially not this person who hasn't competed five seasons already.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think that in this season, and it's kind of like what we see when you watch a season of Survivor where there's returning players or something. Yeah. Wardog was so worried about a returning player getting to the end that he voted off his closest ally in the entire game and then was immediately voted off because it was not the right time. And I think it's a good plan because in the past it has worked, but when it's not working, how do you find a way to navigate around that and make it so that you're not Anissa and Tori should never be going against each other with all of the connections they have. They should never, ever, ever be in that situation. But I think it was a little narrow-minded. Rico Watson here says, but Tori called out all the rookie girls' names except Natalie and Lolo, so she was scared as well. And I do think that that's true. She wants to go against somebody she can beat to stay in the game. But while she's saying all this, she's saying it right to their faces, and she even admits that her and Anissa are playing a very sloppy, messy game. Okay, but you're on your however many season. You shouldn't be playing sloppy, messy games at this point.
Right. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with everything you guys said. And Phil, I liked your comment about, you know, that's how it is in Hollywood. I kind of work in an industry where it's very much a similar mentality. You know, you gotta climb the ladder and put the hours in and all that. I have to go to work when we're done with this podcast.
Nice.
but yeah,
what industry is working at 10:15 at night?
Investment banking.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. All right. Well, I'll call you after for investment ideas, but that's about it.
I like it.
it is weird though. How that's just the mentality. And it's funny because people will always do this. Oh, I hate that that's how it is. And I hate that that's how we treat people. You know, I mean, Hollywood is one of the most vocal in terms of, you know, the Me Too movement and all of that. Oh, we want to know this, that, and other thing, but they keep pushing to be like, no, don't be happy. Yeah, you're 23, 24, 25, 26, 35. You should still be an assistant. Like, you shouldn't be higher than that. It's a weird cycle, and it's funny because it's like they're all scared of being reverted back to a rookie here. Like, they're all scared that what they've earned or what they've earned is going to be taken from them. And I think that they've kind of met their match here because the problem is I think they're so paranoid. And I don't think that the rookies really cared until it became so abundantly clear. And you have to think, tonight you have a team of Leo and Gabby. That's two rookies. You have Michi and Amber M. That's two rookies.
Nam and Lolo.
You have Lolo and Nam. That's two rookies. And we had Anissa and Leroy and Devin and Tori go in. And it was decided by Big T and C2, who are not rookies. It's pretty crazy how that's playing out here, almost because they're doing it to themselves more than anything, I feel like.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And we saw a change in that first episode. We're like, oh, they're targeting winners. Like, this is the exact opposite of what's happening. But we saw them slip back into that rookie mentality, except the people who have been going after the rookies are getting cut off now. Mm-hmm. So we're still kind of in that first week where Cam was focusing on the winners. I think the rookies are in a much better position this season than they have been previously. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to have to see what happens moving forward. But I think this season is playing a lot more on that social game than people are realizing.
So does it bother anyone else that the only two rookies out of the game right now are Joseph and Natalie? Natalie was the second, is right? If I'm not mistaken, Natalie's the second rookie out of the game, which is, you know, obviously for different reasons, but wow, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing. But yeah, I agree with all of this. I think it's a very weird situation. I'm curious to see how it's going to play out because also nobody wants to go against Lolo or Nam.
No.
You have to break them up then. Like, somebody has to say, fine, I'm stealing Nom. Like, I'm stealing, or I'm stealing Lolo. Like, stop eating each other. They're so obsessed with each other that Lolo and Nom and Leo and Gabby and Michi and Amber M are newer, but Lolo and Nom and Leo and Gabby have been together for a while, and they just keep on cruising right along, and nobody's even looking at them.
Mm-hmm. What was y'all's thought about, I mean, every week except for when Natalie beat Ashley and kept Wes as her partner, there's been a mix-up every other time. What did y'all think about the mix-up this week with Anissa going back to Fessy as her partner?
Well, these ones canceled each other out, right? So now it's there haven't been any mix-ups anymore, mm-hmm. except for that first one. Mm-hmm. But at first I was completely confused. I'm like, why is Anissa doing this? This guy just left her. And then I remembered he had a gold skull. Mm-hmm. And it's genius for her to take Fessy back now, because now she has a strong male competitor who already has a gold skull, so there's no incentive for him to want to put them down and her accidentally being eliminated because it turns out to be a woman's elimination instead.
Right.
Yep.
There's no chance that they're getting put in unless someone really feels confident that they can beat Fessy. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, with both of them having gold skulls, they're in a really good spot right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I thought that was the right move for sure. They're almost like shielding each other in a way now that they both have their gold skulls. The only thing is, and it's not as relevant, I guess, because it was last season, but last season they had kind of the same thing with the skull twist where you had to win an elimination in order to qualify for the final. And I think like roughly halfway through the season, you know, Anissa went down into an elimination and ended up winning, got her skull, progressed through the game. Episode before the final, all of the men started thinking, oh, we're going to have to run this final in pairs. I don't want to run the final with Anissa. Let's throw her back down there. And Anissa ended up losing, you know, kind of at the final hour before. So unless there's another situation like that, yeah, I totally agree. I think they're in a great spot going forward.
And I think that this is lining up well for Anissa to finally get into a final, because when you look at some of the other women who are still in the game, there's going to be one person who is less wanted than Anissa when you get down to final six. Mm-hmm. Like, as long as Anissa's there in the final six, there is going to be one person at least who's either going to be a rookie or you know, just somebody who's not as strong as her, who you're going to say, all right, you know what? That's okay. Like, it's just lining up really well for her. It's funny how Fessy's mad about this and doesn't want her back, not even thinking about how good this is, that now you both have gold skulls and you've both proven yourself. Like, that's what everybody's been talking about this whole episode. And it's like, it went right over his head. Oh, that doesn't matter. I don't like, it does matter. That's the whole point of this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Anissa's even better situated because she's the only woman with a gold skull.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's four more.
Yeah.
Four more available. You have the choice of going against Anissa in an elimination or one of these rookies. Why would you go after Anissa when there are still gold skulls on the table?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And again, like what Anissa going with Fessy, there's no chance of what Tori tried to pull last week on Devin. There's just no chance. You will never be going in, which is where you want to be. All right, should we bounce around? Should we just bounce around to the pairs here and roll through them? Did we miss anything from the actual episode that probably should have been touched? I mean, Leroy and Casey are back together. I feel like that was pretty uneventful because, like, obviously Casey wasn't going to take Devin, and if she did, they might have kicked her off the show for making a stupid move. So, I mean, that was pretty uneventful to me.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I just wanted to say was with Tori's approach to that challenge, yes, pulling low would have helped a lot. But I actually think she didn't get enough velocity when pulling the cart towards herself.
That's what I was
the difference between Anissa and Tori in that elimination, where Anissa gave it that big yank at the end, which had it come to that sudden stop, and then the velocity, just the momentum just tipped it over for her.
Yeah.
Whereas Tori pulled it over to her and then tried to use her strength to flip it over.
Yeah, you have to use the speed while it's still moving to get it, use the momentum to tip it over. Yeah, I totally thought that as well. That was the wrong strategy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, she was pretty much trying to move something that wasn't moving. I mean, it's the same thing when you see the world's strongest men pulling trucks, you know, Mack trucks, 18 wheelers, whatever it is. once they get the momentum, that's not that hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, granted, that's coming from somebody who wouldn't ever get the momentum. But once you get it going, it just goes. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it works. So I think she totally missed that. And then what was happening was she was on the mud or like the dirt or whatever, and she just kept digging herself deeper and deeper in, and she really just had no chance, still almost came back. What do we think about that challenge before I do jump to the partners? They said only 13 of them you could go through. It looked like these were going through some of the ones that weren't meant to be gone through. Was I the only one who saw that?
So I think I understand what you were saying, because when we got the back shot, you could see the cracked ones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The cracked ones were the only ones that could break.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like it was broken on the back, but it's actually just the ones that they could hit, whereas the solid ones were the ones that wouldn't break no matter what.
So like the whole top was pretty much not in play. Yeah, it was just exactly there.
13 was a lot to hit. Were the ball or the bombs, I guess that's what they called them, were those heavy like medicine balls, or were they just, they kind of looked like soccer balls, but I couldn't tell if they were actually heavy.
I think it was a little bit of both, because I thought the same thing. I thought that it was medicine balls, and maybe for like the lower ones, it was easier to just chuck those. But then, yeah, I thought like when she went to pull, when Anissa went to flip hers, I was like, that's a soccer ball. Like that's not going to weigh much,
right?
But maybe you needed some of the heavier ones to be able to throw through some of them.
And the way they were throwing them, like they were going like over the head with their throws, mm-hmm. made me think there had to be some weight to those balls.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. All right, let's do this bounce around here. So Devin is now a rogue agent, and I love Devin. I feel like this is almost breaking the game, because Devin is now in the best position in the house. He can't go home this week. Like unless a man gets hurt, which maybe, because I mean that would be, you know, maybe level out the playing field here. But unless a man gets hurt, Devin can't go home this week, and he's in the best position. He survives the male elimination, and if they keep alternating, Devin's now alive for two more votes, and he possibly, like, he's in that position where it's like, I have no shot. This is great. What are we thinking about Devin's chances here and going into next week? Like, what would be a good pairing for Devin at this point?
Devin needs to get with someone who has a little more physical prowess. He needs like a Casey. He needs a Cam, someone like that. Now, of course he doesn't want Cam because Kyle's with Cam. But that's who he's looking for, someone who can kind of even him out. He has the social game, so he doesn't need to really worry about getting a partner who has a social game. He needs to be looking at these people who, like Anissa, like Casey, who are stronger in challenges. And, I mean, in all honesty, Anissa is the best person for him to get with because she has that gold skull.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it would be amazing TV if he got Nani from Josh, just because you know Josh would lose his mind. And Nani is she has not won a challenge yet, but I think she's made a couple finals, and she usually makes like a pretty deep run into it. She's kind of also one of those players who is solid at everything, not like amazing at one thing, but she's like an all-around really good competitor. So that in terms of the physical prowess, I think that could be a good matchup. And then if he really just wanted to troll somebody, kind of stir the pot a little bit more in the house, I think that would be a good pick for him to take Nani out of Josh.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess he probably won't get to pick though, right? Because he's going to be the one because it'll be a male elimination. The woman left over will pick, and then whoever they pick, and then it all, you know, kind of puzzles itself together. But I feel like Devin doesn't actually get to pick. He almost needs it to be Kyle who goes in or something like that, even though Kyle has a gold skull. He almost needs it to be something like that, though, where somebody who he's close with goes in, picks somebody who, you know, they know that Devin, that they could really make an impact and really muscle their way in there, because he doesn't want to get stuck with a rookie, because if he gets stuck with a rookie, he's in trouble, because they're going to just try to throw him in, I feel like, as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. There's some interesting pairs left if you guys want to run through those, like you said, Phil.
Yeah, I normally just go through here. So let's do Kyle and Cam, because we've heard so little from Cam, and I guess John's having a little bit of an internet thing, but he'll be back. Let's do
Kyle. Here. It's okay.
Okay, you're still there. All right. Yeah. I okay. Kyle and Cam. Cam was the star of the first episode. Kyle gets his gold skull in, I think, episode two or whatever it was, three. Really been quiet. I mean, Kyle was really quick with his with the rope today and all of that, but really been pretty quiet. What are we thinking about where they stand in this game right now?
I liked your confessional at the end of the episode about how, you know, so far every elimination that's happened, we've had best friends go up against each other, and it's a good thing they can't put Leroy against me because, you know, girl guy matchup. But it's almost kind of ending up like the Robin Amber effect, like people are seeing pairs and they're like, oh no, like we got to get one of them out, which normally isn't an issue in the challenge. But I think I haven't seen really a lot of Cam's previous seasons, so I can't speak to a ton of her like physical prowess, but I mean, I think she's probably in a pretty good spot. It might be best for her to lay low for a while, would be my thought.
Yeah. John?
Yeah, I think right now we're not seeing a lot from Cam as we did earlier in the season. She's with Kyle, so she's kind of on the right side of the numbers right now. Mm-hmm. So it's really just going to depend on a couple of things, and that really comes down to, are we going to see these rookies versus the Big Brother alliance now moving forward? Or are we going to be seeing things shake up even more now that we have less of these best friends in the house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to shake up more. I don't know. I mean, I never seen it, so I don't know. But to me, it you would think the rookies are a time bomb of some sort. Like they're going to turn on each other at some point, but they're getting like a tribal mentality here. They're getting that, no, it's us versus them, and we want to take them all down. And I think if they could have it their way, I think Gabby, Amber B, Amber M, Big T, they want to be four of the final five. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they can have it their way, that's what they want. I don't know how all of them are going to win a gold skull, but it seems like that's what they want.
If I were the rest of the house, wouldn't you want to be putting, you know, two rookies in against each other? Because then it would weaken their numbers, free up a gold skull, and then, you know, I wouldn't want to use the, oh, going against a rookie is like a layup, because, you know, that got Tori into trouble. But then even if one of the rookies does get a gold skull, maybe you can get it from them down the line, like if there are no more on the table. So yeah, we'll see. I agree. I do think they're taking time bomb though.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Josh and Nani, another one that's not rookies, but we have talked a little bit about Josh. What are we feeling about Nani's game, though?
Nani will be fine as long as Josh stops fighting everyone all the time. She is one of the stronger female competitors at this point. Mm-hmm. So her being able to deal with Josh's personality is kind of her biggest obstacle at this point. Mm-hmm. And Josh does have those connections to the Big Brother people. Nani has connections to more of the veterans on the season. So she'll be fine as long as Josh doesn't drag her down. That being said, Josh is going to continue to just get on everyone's nerves. And it's inevitable for him to end up in an elimination at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I totally agree. I think I see Nani last season, again, when they had the same sort of skull twist, she waited until toward the end to go in and to get her skull. She ended up losing, so she didn't get a skull, didn't make it to the final. So I'd be interested to see if she learns from that. I don't know if I would call it a mistake, because if you're going to lose an elimination, you may as well lose it later so you make it further in the game. But it'll be interesting to see if she takes the same approach this season as she did last, or if she goes a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shame. I feel like it's a shame for her that she stuck with Josh, because, you know, it's totally polar opposites. All right, Ashley and Corey. Ashley comes back into the game. They were the worst at the daily challenge. Their names didn't come up. Ashley's name didn't come up at all. It seems like Corey is definitely more in the right here in the Fessy situation. It seems like Josh really also helped that situation out. What do we think about Ashley and Corey? And did Corey kind of get, I mean, you don't want to lose Natalie, but did he get pretty lucky that it was Ashley coming back?
Yeah, I absolutely do think that of all the competitors to come back, Ashley's a huge one for Corey. She's incredibly strong. She And to show how good she is at the strategic game at this point, she knew exactly how to handle her situation moving forward. She knew, hey, I was voted out first. People are going to come for me. I need to just lay low, get through a couple of weeks, then I can start doing stuff. So mm-hmm. she handled the situation incredibly well. Corey also didn't, while he got heated with Fessy, he didn't seem to get to the point where he was, he didn't get to the Josh level, right? Right. Where it's like, yeah, I'm mad at you. But, I mean, we know from social media that the two of them are still friends. So, I mean, it is not as bad as it might seem in the moment. So that's really good for Corey. Ashley's a strong competitor, looking good. It's just a matter of whether or not Cam flips back to that. We need to get out the winners. Mentality.
Yeah, that makes sense. What do you think about that, Annabelle?
I agree. I think it's not really a pair I see anybody breaking up until one of them gets a gold skull. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably good with where they're at because Corey is not really somebody who likes to rock the boat a lot. You know, he's kind of like one of those background guys. He's like, you know, a good competitor. He's not going to win a ton, but he's probably not, you know, going to throw a hissy fit like Josh is either. So, and if Ashley continues her kind of strategy of laying low for a while, I think they'll be fine. And unless, like John said, you know, Cam gets the itch to go after the winners again, then obviously mm-hmm. she's in trouble. The thing is with the challenge that we don't have in Survivor, I mean, we saw it in Redemption Island. Somebody comes back from Redemption Island. What do? You immediately get them mm-hmm. out again. And that didn't happen this time, but I guess there's no issue with a jury threat because if somebody comes back in who you think you can beat, probably not worried about them, even if they came back and really weren't supposed to.
Well, and again, I think this is why I'm thinking that the little itty bitty girls are getting a little tribal here, because I think their whole mentality was we got to get rid of the big girls because that's what's been on our mind for the last how many votes. And I think that they kind of looked past the fact that Ashley's also one of those big girls. Mm-hmm. Ashley is one of the bigger competitors here. She's not one of the people that people are going to think, oh, it's a layup, as kept being thrown around. So I feel like because Ashley wasn't in front of them the whole time, there's your rookie mistake. There's your rookie move, is looking past Ashley, even though Ashley's not going to work with you. Like, I mean, Ashley would be fine going to the end with you. She's fine getting her gold skull against you. But again, she wants to get her gold skull against you. That's really what's going to be on her mind, not helping you. So I don't know. I think they definitely made a mistake here letting Ashley get some footing in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, especially with her connections and social game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not why she got sent home the first time. She just lost Natalie the Beast Anderson. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That would happen to most people. So Teresa and Jay, we talked a lot about, I mean, we were discussing how Teresa's kind of playing that middle game. Jay's starting to come to life a little bit more here. What do we think about them as a pair?
I mean, I'm a big fan, obviously, with Jay being a Survivor guy. Teresa is not always, I guess, like the most interesting in terms of TV, but like I said earlier, she's also a good competitor and I was like a really good understanding of the social and political aspect of the game. So Jay, I feel like people are just eventually going to realize what a threat he is. And it's entirely possible that they'll get thrown in there, you know, with the hope that maybe one of the big guys like Darrell or Anam or somebody like that can, you know, knock him out. Because if you put Jay in a final, I mean, I think that's going to be tough for most people.
Because a final is more endurance based, which I feel like is where Jay would really excel. I mean, we saw today how much the endurance works for him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think you get Jay into a final, I mean, he could beat probably almost anybody, I would think, if he paces himself well enough. John, what do you think about Teresa and Jay?
I absolutely agree. And I also think this is one of the strongest teams currently that could go into a final as well. They're both, they complement each other really well. And neither of them really cause any trouble within the house at all, except for, I mean, last week we had Josh going after Jay for absolutely no reason. But the fact of the matter is they're both laying low in that middle ground. They both kind of have that ability to pivot here because, again, we were talking about it with Teresa earlier. Teresa is close with the vets, but she's also made the effort to get close with the rookies. And what's that come down to? It comes down to in her rookie season, she played with Wes. So you learn from Wes. So, of course, she's demonstrating the exact same thing Wes said was important at the very first episode of the game.
In the episode preview for next week, though, it looks like Teresa gets into a little bit of hot water. Did y'all notice that?
It seemed like her and then Lolo, right?
I think so. Yeah. She was getting called out for basically her social strategy was what it looked like to me.
I mean, has the, I don't really remember the next time on, but did it look like, have those been really predictable and really telling this season? Or is that like, cause I remember like, you know, CBS, it's a lot of times it feels like they're trying to fake you, but then you have something like Showtime. If anybody ever watched Homeland, they'd literally be like, here's the next 50 minutes that you're going to watch next week. Just in 3 minutes. Like, so I don't know how telling these really are.
From what I'm recollecting of them, they've been going the CBS route of, this is gonna be exciting, but it never really pans out. And it's never really in the, because we're seeing these snippets out of context. We're not seeing them at the exact same moment with everything happening around it, so we can't really take them 100% seriously. So we'll see what happens. It could be a fade, but I mean, Lolo also talked about wanting her gold skull in this episode. You don't just casually mention something like that without it paying off at some point.
And Teresa could be a good matchup for her, so we'll see. But yeah, I agree. It doesn't look like a whole lot more than just a spat, but I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
I feel like a lot of people would be a good matchup for Lolo. So let's talk Lolo and Nam here. Jay does beat Nam in the physical challenge here for the daily, but Lolo and Nam still a pair that people are absolutely terrified of, and they just haven't split up yet. Lolo does say that if she thinks she can win it, she wants to go in there. That's also just the competitive nature, you know, all the time. What are we thinking about them? Is Lolo going to end up shooting herself in the foot at some point? Is this kind of hinting that she might actually end up trying to go in too soon?
It's very possible. We've seen it before. The exact same thing happened with Tori last season. It was almost like note for note. Yeah, I want to go in. I want to earn my skull. And then Tori got eliminated right then. So it was a little different because obviously Lolo didn't get eliminated today. But yeah, that's one of those big things. And it was kind of addressed by Fessy and Josh and Corey in their argument at the beginning of the episode, where the timing of going for your gold skull is so important. And just the way that Lolo goes about this, she's making allies with CT. Good person to have on her side, because CT and Big T seem to be in a good place in the house right now. Because Big T has the rookies, CT has Devin and Kyle. So those are numbers in favor for you. Seems good that way. But eventually, like, this team is too strong to last this entire season without being infiltrated.
Yeah, and if they aren't infiltrated, like, shame on everybody playing with them. Like, that's just insane if they don't end up being infiltrated, because, like, this is, it's so obvious, you know? Like, it really just is so obvious. So I don't know. I think it's going to happen at some point, but when does it happen? Because let's say Lolo does go out there and she does win. She's going back to Nam. Like, right? I don't think Lolo is making any type of move to go away from Nam. Same thing, Nam's not going to go away from Lolo. So it's going to have to be somebody just making that move and really stirring the pot. But who's going to, like, whose game is that good for socially? And is that not good until we are at, like, final 14, final 15, final 16? Is it just too soon anytime before that? Because, you know, you're stirring the pot and you're also going, well, it seems like the vets are playing their own game, and that would stop that game in its tracks. I don't know. All rhetorical questions.
I think another thing that would factor in for Lolo getting that skull or not is whether she's the house vote or the double agents vote. And I actually think that applies to anybody, because if you're the House vote, you know, you could either be SOL with what the challenge is, or you could, you know, really be get lucky and be in a good spot. But if you are the team that the double agents throw down there, if they don't throw themselves in, you know, that could really work out in your favor. If it's, if the double agents are people you're friends with, you see the challenge and you kind of look over at the agent and be like, yep, like this is something I think I can do. I like who I'm up against, because at that point you found out who your opponent would be. You just have more information. And I think with Lolo's current strategic and social game, if she gets into a situation like that, I could definitely see her getting a gold skull, you know, and coming back to Nom.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't feel like Lolo and Nom are in danger of being the House vote anytime soon.
No, I agree.
I totally agree. Let's go to Leo and Gabby, because Gabby had a little bit more of an episode tonight. We finally started to see some personality from her and started to hear from her and what her plan was. And she's got definitely some strategic game. Could she be somebody who's a House vote in the near future? It doesn't seem like Leo's on anybody's radar, but on a near, like in 2 weeks when it's another women's elimination, is Gabby who's going to end up being targeted, like maybe alongside Amber M, or are we starting to see somebody who's going to just be a big personality the rest of the season?
I think as long as Amber M is still in the season, Gabby has nothing to worry about. Because I don't think she'll ever be the House vote over Amber M for some reason, unless Amber M has this like massive showing in a challenge at some point and proves herself as all of these vets are looking for. If Amber M can do that, that's when Gabby needs to start getting worried. But Amber M's name's been out there long enough that the best thing Gabby can do is just kind of lay back a little bit, keep in the know, keep her social game going. And then hopefully, if Amber does prove herself, pivot that the thinking away from her quickly enough so that she doesn't get voted in.
Yeah, that makes sense. What do you think,
Amber? Partner is Michi, right? Amber M.
Amber M and Michi. Yeah, we could talk about them now as a part of this, Leo and Gabby, because I do feel like they're.
Yeah, it's kind of the all rookie lineup here. I mean, if the rest of the House kind of gets their act together and starts fighting this tribe of rookies, then they would, you know, throw one team in as the House vote, and then if you have a vet in charge of the double agents, then you would throw in another team. So it could be a matchup that we see. But yeah, I agree with John. I think Amber M is generally seen as less scary than Gabby, though I don't think Gabby is necessarily seen as scary either. So
yeah,
no, we'll see. But I think Gabby has the partner who is stronger, because Michi has not shown had a good showing at all so far in these first five episodes.
I agree. And didn't Gabby win that truck wrestling challenge, like against whoever her duel was?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She did.
Yeah. So we know she at least has, you know, fight in her, which is.
Yeah. And it's funny with Michi, because I feel like I don't know much about Michi. He seems like he's having a good time out there. I like him. I think he's a fun personality. He's the best dressed man out there. I mean, every time he's got it going on, but he's teamed up with Amber M. Does that help him? Because people are going to want to not put him in next week so that they can put that pair in during a women's elimination and not have the potential of Michi versus Leo or something along those lines. Just Michi goes out there next week. Michi wins. And he says, I'm not going back with Amber M. I'm going to go with somebody else. Now Amber M is going to potentially be one of your partners.
Right.
Does it actually help him right now that he's paired with her?
There's a possibility for it. But again, at some point, we have to think that the structure of who's being eliminated at what time is going to change. Mm-hmm. Because it'll be either 1 week we'll get to it and it'll just be like, okay, it's a double men's elimination. Two men are gone. And then it's a woman's elimination afterwards. Or it's a double elimination where we get a man and a woman gone at the same time. Mm-hmm. But at some point, that structure will have to change, because otherwise, like we discussed in that first episode or that second episode, the man's always the rogue agent, and that's not fair.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense why the man has always been the rogue agent up to this point, because of the injuries and all of that. And I understand, like, You just brought back a woman who had been eliminated from the game. You kind of had to do this episode as a woman's, but they should do back-to-back men now, in my estimation. If I'm sitting there in the house and I'm thinking to myself, why not put Leo and Michi against each other as soon as you can? Because whoever loses, their rookie, their partner, is not seen as strong. So their partner comes back into the game and picks somebody, maybe Devin. And I think with Devin being the rogue agent, this is kind of a good time to do that because it's not really giving him a great option. And if Amber M or you know, Gabby were to say, or it would be the man who picks. So it's kind of like Devin's just getting stuck with whoever. And I think he would probably get stuck with one of these weaker people. And if you guys really don't like Devin, I feel like this would make sense.
No, it does make sense. You have to wonder, though, are they thinking on that level?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Actually, I mean,
Phil, that was some mastermind level.
I just feel like it's crazy. I still feel like, though, I'm thinking like further down the line, too. I keep forgetting that we still have 23 people left. So even though I think that would make sense, 23 people, if you have a 10-person final, I mean, you got to get rid of a lot of people between now and the end of this game. So I don't know. I just think that if you're going to do this, put the two pairs, Leo and Gabby, Michi and Amber M, should be going against each other every week. Like, I just don't get how their names haven't come up at all. And I think Leo beats Michi hands down, no problem, pretty much in any challenge. But great, let that happen, because then a rookie is gone. And Leo, if you're one of the vets, you don't have to worry about, oh, well, I'm the one who lost to Leo. No, if Leo gets a win under his belt, well, now Leo has proved himself a little bit. It's not as humiliating if you go out and lose to a rookie. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a good time to do that. I wonder if, I mean, that's what I would be thinking would happen next week. But based on everything I've seen so far, it's probably going to be Fessy and Anissa versus Josh and Nani or something. Like, it's just going to be something ridiculous. Where I go, why? What are you all doing? We're going to have an all-rookie final. That's what's going to end up happening here. All-rookie and then Jay and Teresa. That's what's going to be.
Yeah. Like Survivor All-Stars, all the big threats go, like, immediately, and then you have...
Yeah, because they all eat each other.
And Rupert. And
but the problem is Jenna Lewis isn't... Like, Jenna Lewis is on the big threat team right now. You know, like, in Survivor All-Stars, she was the Amber M, the big T, whatever. Right. But in this one, it's like, she's pretty much one of the big names because every time they're going for each other. You know, the winners and all-stars weren't going for each other. They at least wanted to help somewhat, but I don't know. I'm at my wit's end here.
I think these rookies have just played this really well. They don't have the ego that some of these rookies we've seen in the past have. Mm-hmm. And because of that, people aren't feeling as motivated to get them out as early.
Yeah.
Because that's what we've been seeing. Really, it's the egos who have been going so far. Those are the people who have been nominated. People with the ego. So when you take that into consideration, playing a middling game right now is really smart because there's no attention on you because there is someone louder in the house who is drawing the house's attention.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of very loud, Darrell and Amber B. Darrell finally got a little bit of scream time tonight. Amber B is still invisible. What is going to happen with them? Because Amber B is a rookie, but her name's not coming up and it doesn't seem like she's causing any drama at all. But also I have zero connection to Amber B right now. Like, I feel nothing for her. So I'm like, if she's going to be somebody running the final, I really would have liked to have known her by now. But if she's not going to be running the final, like, when is she going in? Because she is one of the rookies. What do we think about this pair that we've heard so little from?
Well, Darrell is one of those kind of old school legends. I mean, he's won 4 challenges before. I think he's the second most winning. Is that right, John? Like, next to Bananas?
Second most winning, but he's won the most consecutive.
He won. I think he went 4 for 4 the first 4 seasons he played. So if they kind of get back into that mentality of let's get out the winners or like the big threats or something like that, then they will definitely be on the chopping block, especially if they think it's a men's elimination, because people are absolutely scared of Darrell. So Amber B could end up being a rogue agent if, you know, they went in, if they threw Darrell into an elimination and he ended up losing. So, or he, if he came back and won, he could potentially take somebody else, and then you're kind of left with Amber B by yourself. So, yeah, I agree. I think we definitely need more content from her. I don't have a lot to say about her right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amber, I don't know. Oh, sorry, Phil.
Go ahead. I have nothing to say. I was just kind of, you know,
Amber B's a Big Brother player and a rookie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she kind of has her foot in both pools right now. We talked about the fact that Darrell's name wasn't coming up when Cam was going after winners. And we thought maybe that was because it's been so long since he's competed and his last showing wasn't that great. But yeah, we know nothing about this pair. We haven't seen anything from them except for we got Darrell talking about his fear of heights again. But other than that, like, we don't know what's going on with them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. I really hope they do start picking up because it would be nice to get something from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Darrell didn't do well his last time out.
Oh, he was the first eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was.
Okay. Was Fresh Meat 2 his last season or was it more?
No, it was Dirty 30.
Dirty 30. Okay.
Gotcha. I don't know what that means. All right. The last three here. So two of these are new teams, even though they're not new teams, they took a week off and now they're back together. And then CT and Big T were the stars of tonight's show, especially Big T. CT and Big T. Big T is definitely getting a fan favorite type edit here. I do agree. CT's relationship with her has just been amazing. I love that they're polar opposites, but they're getting along so well. Big T is going to get her time though, or is Big T running this final? Like, what do we think?
I don't know. She has so much respect from these rookies. These rookies revere her, and what a fantastic casting find Big T was. Because in her previous seasons, like, she's been there, she hasn't done well, so we haven't gotten a lot of her. But we have gotten to see the character of Big T, and she is so fun to see on TV. She's with CT, who's also incredibly fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And because she has these rookies, and CT has Devin and Kyle, they're really well positioned. Yeah, someone might come for Big T eventually because she is one of the weaker women. Mm-hmm. But there's a big CT-shaped partner there that you also have to get through.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you ever really want to risk guessing the wrong elimination and having to go up against CT?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's definitely long for this game just based on kind of, you know, the edit that she's getting. I hate to, you know, use that kind of terminology because I don't know if that's how they, you know, work things in MTV as much as they do CBS. But I think also we did get a confessional. I think it was from Tori. She was talking about how proud she was of Big T for, you know, winning the daily because everybody talks about, oh, Big T's a layup, you know, anybody can beat her, she's so easy, blah, blah, blah. Maybe this is a little bit of that. This is the come up of her as a competitor. And if she and CT somehow, miraculously, both manage to get gold skulls and make it all the way to the end and stay together, I think with his brute strength and stamina and experience, I think he would absolutely be able to compliment her well in a final. So, but that's a lot of ifs and it's a long way until the finale. So we'll see.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like the thinking there though. I think that makes a lot of sense. And they definitely have like the camaraderie that you would need to run a grueling leg. But we'll see. Feels like we'll see next week a little bit how things shape up, you know, in terms of how they do in a longer endurance-based challenge. And I think next week we'll see a lot of what these rookies actually do have to offer. The other two teams, Leroy and Casey, Fessy and Anissa, anything really reporting here? I mean, obviously we said Anissa made the right move here. Fessy doesn't seem happy with it, but I just don't think Fessy really realized it in the moment. Anything that we're feeling with Leroy and Casey or Fessy and Anissa? Are we feeling long game with them or short term?
I thought they were a good pair to begin with. Both Casey and Leroy were ecstatic to have each other back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really telling there. They both feel very confident with each other. So that's something going for them. Hopefully they don't get bitten by the fact that people want these Big Brother people out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because Casey is the person who is like mending these bridges between the Big Brother people. Because we saw it. She sat down with Josh and Fessy and was like, what are you two doing? Please stop doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Casey is sort of an all-around player. I mean, last season was her first season. She made the final as a rookie, came in second for the women, absolutely killed it. Like you said, she is kind of mending those bridges between the Big Brother people. So she has the social game, and she definitely kind of has a good understanding of the strategic too. So yeah, I think a lot of the girls, especially probably the rookies, are scared of her. I mean, I wouldn't want to go up against her in elimination. So if she can, you know, get thrown in there and get that skull and hopefully sit on it, I think she's in a really good spot. And Leroy, I guess kind of have mixed opinions about him as a player. I don't totally have a good read on him based on what I've seen from him. But again, I agree with you. I do think they're a good pairing.
I like Leroy as a person, I feel like, but I agree. I don't really know what his game is. Like, mm-hmm. I really like him. I'm entertained by him. I find myself rooting for him. Even at the beginning when I wasn't the biggest fan of Cam right off the bat, Leroy, I was with him. So I was like, all right, you know, you and Cam get through it. But his and Cam's relationship has really taken a back seat, I feel like, on this season, which I'm kind of surprised about, because you would think that MTV would be blowing that up, but they're not. And it's taken a little bit of a back seat. I am happy that he is back with Casey. I do think that that's the best thing for us as a viewer and for him. I think it's helpful to have that happen. So I am excited about how that's going to go down. Fessy and Anissa, it's going to be a beautiful train crash. I mean, that's going to be a train crashing into a plane, crashing into a car. I mean, that's just, I love it though. I think it's a great move. And I do like to watch Fessy not get what he wants. Like, yeah. There's just something joyful about Fessy struggling a little bit. And you know what? If Fessy goes on a win, good for him for navigating this whole thing and overcoming whatever with the friendships and all of the words that were thrown around like it was middle school. But, you know, it's I like that he's got kind of sourpuss face on right now. Like, I like that.
I agree. It's funny.
Yeah, it adds a lot to it. And hopefully we continue to get it moving forward, because as much as I want Fessy out, I also want him there stirring up drama so that we have some entertainment moving forward that isn't Josh yelling at people.
Agreed. And one last thing to add tonight, Anissa won her 10th elimination tonight. Now, I know she's been on, this is her 14th season, so obviously had time to do all of that. But that's almost one per season. That's pretty unreal, because, I mean, that's a lot. That's just a lot.
It's quite impressive, and people still underestimate her. Mm-hmm. We've seen it time and time again where people underestimate her because she does lack the stamina. We even saw it in today's elimination where she was kind of lacking some of that stamina, where she got those first few really quickly, and then she was stuck with three left, and she was kind of taking her time to throw those balls, and it gave Tori that brief window to catch up. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's a concern with Anissa. But she's a beast. She's still a beast. She's super strong and she's smart. And that's really what it comes down to, is she uses her strength very intelligently. And that's how she wins these eliminations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited to see how it plays out. It either feels like Anissa's going to get into a final finally, or it feels like this is her swan song. It feels like one or the other right now to me. You know, just from a novice viewer's perspective. Anything else we want to add here? This is our longest one, which makes sense because there's three of us. But I feel like we covered pretty much everything, and I feel like these will probably get easier to cover everything as we get down from the ridiculous amount of people that I'm not used to talking about to a more manageable. I want them to get down to 16. I don't even like talking about 20. So 16 soon, please. Anything we missed?
Not moving forward at this point, I don't think. I think we're just at a point where we've seen a lot of pairs break up at this point, so we'll just see what happens moving forward, and we'll see if this group of rookies keeps going unopposed or if they're going to be thrown to the wolves pretty quick here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys like the theming of this season? The whole super secret spy, double agent?
I lost you for a second there. I couldn't hear. I think it was my internet, though. John, did you hear her?
Yeah,
if you did answer.
In regards to the theme, like, it's they've leaned really far into the theme this year, which they don't usually do on the challenge. Mm-hmm. It's a bit goofy, but at the same time, it's kind of fun. And it looks like TJ's having fun with it. So I'm all for it for now. I think if they did this every season, it would get very tiring. But it's fine for them to do it this one season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really trying to play up like a Dr. No lair type thing here that, you know, that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. I like that they called it a security breach and it was just Ashley coming back. Like, you could have just said it was Ashley coming back.
Yeah.
You know,
referring to TJ as a handler instead of the host. I thought that was kind of ridiculous.
But a little weird. It's like just weird wording anyway. Like, anything, you shouldn't be calling somebody who interacts with other humans a handler. I feel like that just has very weird, weird terminology. Let's just leave it at that.
It's okay. It's been a year for weird terminology.
It has been a year.
Social distancing with your handler. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. Okay. Well, on that note, height shock, let's get out of here and let's do, all right. This was great. I know I don't close these things. This was great. This was a lot of fun. Annabelle, it was great having you on. Might have to do this again in the future. It seemed like it actually worked really, really well. Not that I thought it wasn't going to work, but sometimes three can be company or three can be a crowd. And I think today it was company. So that's good.
Yeah. Thank you.
This was a lot of fun. And Alexa and I are having our big start to 2021 meeting, literally just decided on Friday. So we will have big things on the horizon. We really will. I promise. The chaos of life is starting to settle down, and I hope to not leave the state of Florida for a very, very long time. I am so tired of being all over the place. So Alex and I will be meeting up. We have not done a podcast yet together this year, even though we've been pounding out podcasts pretty regularly. So keep an eye out on Monday for Alexa with Australian Survivor with McKenna. We will be back next Wednesday. Become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. February is going to be the month. January is going to have some fun stuff, but February is going to be the month. And we're really going to pick it up because we had to get into some sort of routine, some sort of rhythm. But challenge has been a lot of fun. Glad we're doing it. Glad everybody is still tuning in and listening. We had a good amount of viewers again. John, Annabelle, thanks so much. And I will see everybody next Wednesday.